meeting of Parliament, Thursday, the 23rd of June, we continue with answers to questions. Question 265 of 2022. The Honourable R. M. Clinton. Speaker, can we come to buy how many individuals of Elven schools for the 6-month extension for tax amnesty announced in the 2016 budget on how much tax was collected? Answer, the Honourable Chief Minister. Mr. Speaker, a total of 13 individuals availed themselves of the 6-month extension to the tax amnesty announced in the 2016 budget, and as a result, a total of £516,843 was collected. Next question. Question number 266 of 2022. The Honourable Colin Clinton. The Speaker, can you advise me on several questions next year of the Chief Minister's personal visits, including government employees, specifically in travel and accommodation, and could the government advise for which commercial airline the flights were booked and the cost of travel? The Honourable Chief Minister. The Speaker, as I have already made public, the invitation from His Holiness is extended to me as Chief Minister to Britain, my wife, my children, and my private office. I wore the costume of flight for all members of my family and of my and my family's accommodation in Rome. The exact breakdown of cost of flight does not yet been defined in the invoice. When the invoices are received, the information will be provided on the government website and in the way. I flew to Rome with Air Europa from Malaga and Madrid, via Madrid, and returned with Iberia, also via Madrid and Malaga. My private secretary flew via London with British Airways and returned with me with Iberia via Madrid and Malaga. The cost of my private secretary's accommodation in Rome, which has been fully endorsed, was €641.36. And I think I know that the Chief Minister's answer would be grateful if the information were individually itemized and when it is available to upload it to the website. And I don't think I heard from the Chief Minister what class of travel he traveled on. Well, on Air Europa, which is a one-class airline, and on Iberia, Mr. Speaker, where I traveled top class in return to Gibraltar, or in return to Malaga, because the time we had available made it impossible to obtain a common seat, either for me, funded by Tesco, or for the rest of my family, funded by me. Question number 267 of 2022, the Honourable R. M. Clinton. Could the Chamber go up there and list the government ministry, including the Chief Minister, and put forth a firm forecast in the period 1st October 2021 to the 31st of March 2022, given the observance cost and destination? Answer, the Honourable Chief Minister. The Speaker, the Chief Minister, ministers, and officials travel with one class airline. From Gibraltar, this means travelling with EasyJet, which the Chief Minister often takes, or economy in Europe where possible. First class travel is only undertaken when necessary, that is to say, when economy flights are not available. These days, given the problems in the with airline frequency, etc., and the late bookings which are often necessary in respect of ministerial travel, it is often at times inevitable that travel has to be top class if it's going to happen. And I hand over schedules with the information which is not publicly available on the government website. performance because we were involved in before we got the show to recommend last a quick supplemental. Just to confirm then, that it is the government's stated policy that where travel within Europe is should in the first instance always be required. I think I have been asked to repeat the policy because that is the policy. Unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, as I told one of the gentlemen, very often it is not possible to get economy flights because all flights are full these days, especially in Europe. And indeed, Mr. Speaker, we very often have to book at the last minute. So we may be told on a Monday that we have to fly on a Tuesday. Indeed, Mr. Speaker, knowing the nature of the work that we do, honourable members know that we might be told on a Tuesday if we have to fly on a Tuesday. And very often these days, it is just impossible to obtain flights which are available in economy cabins at that time, whether it's on travel from Gibraltar or travel from Malaga, which we also check in order to ensure that we get the best deal for the taxpayer, which is exactly what we want to ensure that we achieve. Now, honourable members will know that you can be told that there are no seats on the plane when you turn up on the plane, and there are seats on the plane. So it is impossible to make a judgment about these things sometimes by looking at the panorama around you when you are flying, because I have had to see colleagues fly on different aircraft to me, because we have been told that there is no space in the aircraft to have a free seat next to them. So, Mr. Speaker, I hope that gives the honourable gentleman the information that he wanted. So, for now, I have time to digest the schedule. The Speaker, before February, of course, the Minister's second day is going to officials, but I don't think it's cost associated with the Ministry. I think my question is very specific in terms of transport travel, unless he's telling me that everything on the government website in relation to government official list from Croft, and they're all from Croft in the period. And secondly, in the second set of government officials, I like to assume that these are all I'll put down our hopefully. I think it's more helpful for them to be able to answer one question at a time. The reason it doesn't have any cost to it is because that is already public information. I mean, the information, as I started, I think, saying, or as I said at the end of my first answer, I hand over some information which is not publicly available on the government website. The cost of all these flights is already available. It's therefore publicly available information. It is not susceptible to a question in this house. The dates from the travel club cost for the period that we are the dates that we set out here. The government website doesn't provide the information in respect of officials. So the respective officials were given all the information that we asked, which was not publicly available, and that is the information set out in the paper. Very good. So, speaker, I guess all I need to do now is go to the government website, look at the dates of travel, and then we'll tell you that those are not part of travel, by definition. And here's my second question, Mr. Speaker, which is everybody on the second schedule, which is government officials, would represent what part of travel? Yes. Mr. Speaker, I don't understand why the Honourable Gentleman is asking me this. This is supplementary, because his question is specific. His question is about craft travel. So the only information he is being given, because it's the only information he has asked for, is about craft travel. I have told him that there are other instances where we fly which is not craft, and I have told him that we try not to travel craft if there is an alternative available. But the question is very clear, and for that reason, the answer can only be linked to the question. Next is question number 268 of 2022. The Honourable R. M. Clinton. Madam Speaker. Sorry, can I unmute him? Yes, please, please share with us. the government. Mr. Speaker, can the government provide a detailed breakdown of the office rents and service charge costs of £9,253,765 incurred in the 2018-19 by the present government? Answer, the Honourable the Chief Minister. Mr. Speaker, we'll answer this question 269 and 270. Question number 269 of 2022. The Honourable R.M. Clinton. Mr. Speaker, can then provide a list of all private sector rented offices specified by ministers as at 31st of March 2022, which is the first date of first occupation and the associated annual cost of rental? Question number 270 of 2022. The Honourable R.M. Clinton. The state can then provide a list of all private sector property rentals based eligible for present corporation as at the 31st of March 2022, during best rented lease annual rental of appropriated department residencies using the premises on purpose. Answer, the Honourable the Chief Minister. Mr. Speaker, the details of the charges allocated to the government offices, office rent and service charges, and subhead are precise to that. The financial year 2018-19 relates to the right hand of the last parliament, not this one. The annual budget debate that deals with figures which are set out in the estimate book when they get the opportunity, is when they get the opportunity to get breakdowns and to ask detailed questions of the budget. The question that the gentleman is now posing is one for the committee stage of the third reading of the appropriation bill for 2018-19. The details of their rent for this financial year, which we put in question 269 and 270, will of course be provided, and I hand over the schedule with the information requested. I think it'd be perfect for the large investment trigger. If I may ask, which is also in relation to the answer to question 269, I don't see the Minister for Environment listed here. I believe I may be wrong, I'm happy to be corrected, but I don't think it's in house. Is this just, is that correct? Is what I get what I'm asking. The answer to 270, so you'll be able to see it there. I'm grateful for that type of evidence, but I think it should be added to the answer to 265. Okay, if I can confirm the figure to the answer to 268, yes, I am asking for a historic data, but I don't see why that should be limited to questions of the country state. I'm asking just for a factual data, Mr. Speaker, of a number which was published as a mathematical number for 2018 can come up with either those or better ways. On the figure, the people, are we going to have in every question time a debate about financial new strong parts? Now, the Liberal government has asked, in effect, the same question about this year as we are in respect to 2018-19. The question about all our rent on the 31st of March 2022. Now, is there anything you guys want to go back? Drop out of storage all of the data in respect of 2018-19 and provide all of that data and check it, because when the data enters, nothing has to be absolutely correct. So, Mr. Speaker, I think that it makes very little sense for us to be having that sort of debate at this time. If the government wants it, Mr. Speaker, with a bit more time, I can assure him that we can have it in writing so that we can have it and I can make sure that it is correct. But question time, run for this to becoming a budget debate of any year gone past. Because we're going to go back many financial years. This is 2018-19. Before the last election, it's not even the speaker an earlier budget session of the lifetime of this parliament. It's to go back to the previous parliament. So, Mr. Speaker, I really don't think that is going to and we have to make sure the information we're given to the council is correct. So we have to go back and get that information and provide it. If you're almost done with it, I'll write to them and then they can have it. Speaker, as you always keep reminding us, this is question time. I'm asked a question, if I'm not still engaged in a debate. I may not know why I'm asking the question, but I have good reason to ask the question. I would appreciate your answer if you asked them in written form. I will accept that because we don't have information available, but there is good reason as to why I asked the question, Mr. Speaker. I was not going to get into the debate, so I think I'm entitled to answer. I will gratefully accept that a written answer, but I will hopefully get that answer sooner rather than later. I mean, in terms of time frame, we'll be talking at the end of the week or each other at the end of the year. Yeah, if you really want to have it, the figure that I can make sure that I have it available, because obviously, as you know, we're preparing for a budget debate. So, we're preparing for a budget debate for the financial year 2022-23, not for the budget debate of 2019. On this issue, just to clarify, because no other member has asked a question, we're not sparking or expecting that there should be a debate analogous to the budget debate. The budget debate is a debate on the principles of the appropriation bill. We're not going to debate the principles competitively. We ask for a breakdown of a sum of money. It's a bit like asking for, you know, a breakdown of the music festival that happened 3 years ago. I mean, it's something that can be asked for. Or is this going to be something that has a lack of principle and things which is not. The government's not here to answer these questions. I think he started there, but I don't think he's ended there because he's offered the information in written form as long as he can check it. If that's the situation, well, then fine, my learned friend, my honourable colleague has accepted that position. I just want to clarify that. I think that I've been prepared. I said I'm prepared to give the information, but it requires us to go back and it requires us to make sure that we check that information. And because this relates to a previous parliament, in fact, Mr. Speaker, their position was that they would not answer questions about things that happened in a previous parliament. Now, we were told, Mr. Speaker, if you have, Mr. Speaker, yes, we have been in government, Mr. Speaker, the Honourable Professor Bailey has been in government. The Honourable Professor Bailey has a strong record in government. The Honourable Professor Bailey has been a deputy minister of Gibraltar, and you cannot pretend that he wants to forget his position in Gibraltar when he was in government in Gibraltar, and the party that they represented in government in Gibraltar. And we were told by that party, including Mr. Peter, who was Mr. Professor, in the government that told us, representing the Gibraltar Social Democrats, that they would not provide information of things that happened in the previous parliamentary session, that is to say, before the last election. We are ready to provide that information because we consider it, because we have just this information about our own administration, although we have changed the minister, because we have information which belongs to the taxpayer, and therefore. they will look at the lines and appear that we can vouch for security. Now, going back to sending as a speaker requires us to obtain it, to have it checked, and that is right about the government. That's what we can provide it, and we provide it in the time available. But the government wants to go back further, and further, before the election, before the pandemic, all of that is going to require us
able, if necessary, to capitalize that company and to perform on its guarantee.
not comply, but both the lesson does not comply with the obligations, and if the guarantor does not step in to provide the sufficient payment to comply also with the obligation, then this is false to the crown. Next question, question number 272 of 2022. The Honourable Chief Stephen. Mr. Speaker, what percentage of measures in May are being taken to prevent another incident, which is the one that took place in the evening of Wednesday, the 18th of May, when the emergency customs speaker was the subject of an arson attack with the risk of reoccurrence in the minimum? Which included the assistance of the Argentine Special Crime Officer and the review of CCTV footage, inquiring for the engagement with members of the public and search for any information. Requests have also been sent to the Spanish law enforcement in order to obtain any intelligence that might be used to identify the rest of the culprits. In addition, there have been increased operations and presence over the last 4 weeks in order to pressure on the different crime groups that might be associated with attacks. The attempt to demonstrate that attacks on law enforcement will not be tolerated. Measures to prevent such a systemic assault from happening again are being explored. However, careful consideration has been given to such safeguards so that they do not hinder the marine section of operations or affect their response time. But the people would need to be clear is that the community is not going to tolerate any actions or behaviour which compromise the safety of our great law enforcement agents who fully support them, as I'm sure the Home Council will do. that we knew that it might arrive by sea as a result of a threat, arrives at an European port for some kind of processing, I'm not sure what how the importation is actually done. I don't have a good time to speak about it, done in various different ways. So goods can come from certain countries to the United Kingdom, and from the United Kingdom through the EU to Gibraltar, or through the United Kingdom direct to Gibraltar, yesterday, and or not through the United Kingdom, but through another European port, either then still by sea or by land to Gibraltar. There are no direct links from Gibraltar to third countries operating at the moment. So there's no direct arrival of food from non-EU sources to Gibraltar from third countries. Our, for example, I'll give you the example that we would all immediately think of. Our fruit and bread from Morocco, when it comes from Algeria. Because the commercial route from Morocco is to Algeria. And it has been for some considerable time during the pandemic, etc. So, Mr. Speaker, I hope that's helpful. To clarify, because the concern has been expressed to me in terms of the future arrangements being negotiated, whether that would have an impact on arrival of food imports from outside the EU, but from what I take from what he says that. When in the original answer, he said that the majority of the 38.49% arrived via the UK, via the EU rather, in fact, he's saying it's not arriving directly into the Gibraltar port at the moment at all. I think that's how I understood his answer for it. That's right, he's not arriving directly from any third country, Mr. Speaker. So there isn't a line from New Zealand to Gibraltar that brings us New Zealand round. This capacity number 274 of 2022. The Honourable Leader of the Opposition. Mr. Speaker, why is it not possible for a member to assist this type of job vacancy to step into post? Answer, the Honourable Chief Minister. Future relationship with the EU Centre, we have approximately 300 articles. Article General of the Centre. There must be a number of articles of the proposed treaty between the European Union and the United Kingdom on the future relationship of Gibraltar with the European Union will be known only when the treaty has been drafted. Today, anyone who suggests that they know how many articles the subject of potential treaty may have is merely speculative. The reason for the question, and look, I can't get it by saying that when I read things in the Spanish website, I take a pinch of salt and I hardly believe it. But sometimes, you know, you hear things first in the Spanish press and it trickles down, and it has some logic of truth. And the first I may have seen in a recent article a couple of weeks ago that affected. That the treaty would have around 300 articles, and that 90% of them had been agreed, and that there were some difficult ones. And of course, okay, so I just need to put that question, and that has not been information that I have hitherto been given by the members of the and I wanted there to be some confirmation that there was not actually a draft of 300 articles circulating around the negotiating team. And I wanted to inquire through the state of the drafting exercise and whether the Chief Minister will confirm that particular article that I have referred to is the entire situation. Most people in there is let's hope that there is a treaty that says it has 400 articles, 200 articles, and there's also a pretty wide opportunity there to get it right. There's 100 articles in it, but some of it's more for 299, and less than 401, the person who said that to the telephone will be able to get it right. When you look at the number of chances that there might be, 300 to 400 articles is not a bad guess, but a lot depends on how the piece is working. As far as I know, there isn't yet, Mr. Speaker, any agreed treaty provision, let alone a whole treaty, but only agreed treaty provision. Even the first one, the treaty shall be referred to as the treaty between the United Kingdom and the European Union shall be entered into this first day of September 2022. There are different views, and the fundamental views of what the treaty would look like. There are different views of what treaty articles might look like if different options are agreed, etc., etc. But that hasn't happened yet. That agreement on those issues has not happened yet. And therefore, the Speaker, given that this is something which you're over general, like I have read in the Spanish press, it may be that the European Commission, in its preparation and work with the Spanish government of what they think the treaty looks like, have in their top drawer, ready to the consensus by the time that you think there will be agreement in the region, a draft of 300 growth layers that may or may not be taken. I'm speculating. And I think the Speaker of the Commission, who was being relied upon for that article, was speculating. And I do believe that the Speaker of the Commission have more respect for each other for the information that we provide for each other. Maybe the Honourable General ever reads anything like that and he wants to ask. And perhaps it sounds cool to say that people, we are in touch with the other people's chair, we have quite a good relationship in that sense. He could just text me and ask me whether the record proper that he has written the Spanish press has any proof to it or not. I will say to people for nothing, and I know there will be making more enemies than I perhaps could. But the only thing I believe in is that the newspaper is the day. As long as it's the day that I am reading the newspaper, which my watch confirms, and it's the day that my iPad confirms. Other than that, the people of Gibraltar would do right to take a huge pinch of salt and garlic pepper with anything that they read in the Spanish press, and know that something that has been placed in the Spanish press to create animosity between the Gibraltarians. It's an easy thing for us to come up with a negotiation. Try and divide your balance, but I would have thought that the people of Gibraltar are fairly dealt with. Of all of those Spanish newspapers in the time of Franco, etc., etc., would have learned. That's the new online social media generation haven't learned. Okay, so. Yes, Mr. Speaker. And, of course, we are in touch and, you know, and the problem, the rest is the not my fault. I think to be interpreted, I think there's things that we can do in a completely way. But on a joking note, if I were in touch with the woman and tell her whether or not to go about your book, it would be all the time. But we can understand also that sometimes when we put questions, it's not just because of that, because of course I can clarify this with the woman, but go from the fact first, not only not have heard it, other people in the world have heard it, and sometimes it's important for people to get the clarification from the government in public at the state and in this forum so that they understand what exactly is going on. Can I just ask you, and slightly related to this, but on the basis of the results that have been given it, I think the last time that the update to the House was around a month ago, can we take the opportunity perhaps to say where we are in terms of the negotiations? If he is able to do so, if he might not be able to do so, and he might not have moved on much more from where he was, then it would be helpful for everyone listening to him.
I think I do appreciate that. I've been in opposition for long enough to know that the question as public interest is also an important device of question time. So I feel difficulty with doing so in those circumstances, but he will understand that the vehemence with which I have expressed my answer is exactly therefore what he wanted, the public control to have, which is that clarity. I will update the House now with the information that is in my budget again.
Next question, question number 226 of 2022. The Honourable Roy Clinton on behalf of the Honourable E.J. Phillips. answer the honourable the minister of the whole, this is all financial pension. It is built in the Health and Health Commission and the Oral Charity to provide a core healthcare service. If an NGO or charity decides to commit to a regulated service, the regulation is set to be dealt with within the framework of the pertinent regulating body. NGOs are charged to provide invaluable support to people with a range of needs in the majority of health and care systems globally.
As I understood, the reason for him taking questions on this is that the recent leadership taking major focus from an NGO saying that inviting people who might be behind leadership things in the special government agency services to child agency services. And it's strange in some ways that that would need to be the case, because if there were people who perhaps had numerous issues or limited practical assistance, why wouldn't they approach? Why wouldn't the DHA as a natural course in dealing with those issues? I'm not sure if the honourable member has given those posts and whether he can comment on that.
But what I would say is that the care of the family to join trade works very closely with other engineers. How they operate independent of the care agency or indeed the joint trade is absent. In other words, the value of the valuable support which we accept. But in terms of providing core services, no, absolutely not. So we don't have those. That commentary is going to vary to what extent it is or isn't happening. I don't know, but I can certainly tell you that it is not our policy that we should be outsourcing to NGOs or trying to use core services.
Maybe we will consider dentistry and the core services.
The time is left for her would be wrong, because there are many parts of that service that may well be core and others that may not be. I'm not going to get into a discussion as to what is core in dentistry and what isn't. Fortunately, one thing I don't know what the answer would be, and I can not imagine. And two, because I didn't provide any information by the specialists themselves, and therefore I wouldn't be looking to form a judgment of my own without very much.
Are these arrangements, have they been revised to
the rent is, or is it the rent is for the entrance that gets back all that way back to the time that in 428? that the ministers were to represent part of the review that they're conducting of the general rates. I mean, the rates will be conducted later, but are there reviews of some of the notices of the dispensation of the prescriptions that are being looked at and increased one of them?
Is that right? it has been large contracts of some value, so we would be hoping to have those kind of targets for them.
No member will recall when we did questions in Parliament to committee on services and other expressions of GHA required, and it could have been discussed for some considerable time before the tender was put out with a number of different parties. The church would then take the decision. But the best way to get to where we wanted to get to with a professional provider was to put it out to tender detailing the services. And inviting friends to come forward and protect what happens. So I think the objective of this is to put specialization in, and I'm delighted that we've managed to contract with an international firm with a reputation and expertise to put aside for the benefit of all of you who didn't care at all.
Question number 235 of 2022. The Honourable Leader of the Opposition.
Can the government confirm that it has not changed the previously announced policy in the position that tenants of government housing do not themselves need to take steps to register under the new Register of Property Occupation?
Arthur, the Honourable Minister for Health, Digital and Financial Services.
The government confirms that it has not changed the previously announced policy.
That's helpful, but there appears to be a lot of confusion on this, if we could, and we approach people talking about that process and so on, and some of them will say that they've been queuing up and that kind of stuff. The message that the minister gave on the when we did the principal people, and I asked him for his version, and he gave it at that time. That message appears not to be out there, or at least not out there in sufficient clarity. So perhaps the government would be likely to consider issuing a notice or providing some further information on this to so that the public are aware that they don't need to worry themselves about this.
I think there's another issue, which is. But we know transferring the data that we have from the housing records into the property registry. But at the same time as we're doing it, we want to check its accuracy. Therefore, the team are engaging with people to check and verify who is actually occupying different units within the public housing stock. Some of them are relatively straightforward, and we know the incentive between the citizens and the homes on those. But it's quite straightforward. It's a single dwelling flat in the wall to keep that. It's very intriguing. And public housing, of course, for that. The policy is vectoring. I'm happy to look at putting some notice about it, which won't be clarity to people who don't need to worry about it. But the team is engaging with a checking and double checking of the information we're putting into the property register to make sure that it doesn't have one problem. It's just the truth. We want to ensure that the data. And then that system is accurate, so we're taking some time to go through it. But nobody in public housing has to comply with the legislation at this stage in terms of providing that information. It's been done for them by us.
So, to be fair, Mr. Speaker, I'm grateful for that answer. When he said that the department is checking, which of course is understandable and it's okay to check this information, they should check it. That is a proactive decision of the department. They are perhaps really reaching out to check this information, but this is, they are not requiring tenants of public housing to go down to the community and so on. They're not, tenants of government housing are not in danger of penalties for non-compliance, which is, this is something that, as a matter of policy, the principal housing officer will do. They will register, but then the government officials may be checking the information once the registration is difficult. That's how I understand the answer.
Yes, that's exactly right. So it's simply verifying information that we already hold to ensure it's updated today. And there is no penalty or sanction, we're not obliged to do it. We're going to send all the time, whether it's a family or people in
who have registered online, and I think that's very helpful in the process of getting there quicker. Next question, question number 236 of 2022, the Honourable Leader of the Opposition. Of the 39,854 COVID boosters compared to the 9th of June 2022, how many of these were first COVID boosters, that is, the first dose of the COVID vaccine, broken down by residents and non-residents? Arthur, the Honourable the Minister for Health, Digital and Financial Services. Mr. Speaker, I answer this question together with questions 237, 238, and 239. Question number 237 of 2022. The Honourable Minister of the Opposition. Mr. Speaker, the 39,854 COVID boosters were registered to the 9th of June 2022. Have any of these the second COVID boosters, that is, the fourth dose of the COVID vaccine, broken down by residents and non residents? Question number 238 of 2022. The Honourable Minister of the Opposition. Of the 18,806 confirmed COVID cases detected in Gibraltar to the 9th of June 2022, how many people have contracted COVID once, and how many have contracted COVID-19 more than once, and two positive, with a breakdown of how many people have contracted it once, twice, or three times, or more times? Question number 239 of 2022. The Honourable Leader of the Opposition. Mr. Speaker, to the extent that of the 18,806 confirmed COVID cases detected in the vote of the 9th of June 2022, there have been repeat positives, in other words, cases of people contracting COVID more than once, and government states can government provide a breakdown of these by vaccination status, namely how many of the repeat positives have been vaccinated, or are or were unvaccinated against COVID-19 at the time of contracting COVID for a second time? Answer the Honourable Minister for Health, Digital and Financial Services. Mr. Speaker, as a second of the 854 booster doses administered up to the month of June 2022, 20,740 were third doses, with 22,278 administered to residents and 7,362 administered to non-residents. Similarly, 1,114 were first doses, with 8,227 administered to residents and 887 to non-residents. Of the 18,806 confirmed cases, a total of 16,728 persons have been tested COVID-19 once, 1,036 have contracted COVID twice, and 2 persons have contracted COVID-19 twice. No one has contracted COVID-19 four times or more. Of the 1,031 persons who were confirmed COVID-19 positive more than twice, two or three times, 771 were vaccinated, and 267 were unvaccinated at the time of testing positive. I just gave the Honourable Member an opportunity to confirm also that the booster remains available for anyone who wants to take it up. Is that correct? Yes, indeed, because I said the rest of the Parliament, for as long as kept supplied and available, we will continue to administer them. Number 240 of 2022. The Honourable and the Leader of the Opposition. Mr. Speaker, how many persons under the age of 18 have been seen by or being referred to mental health services or practitioners at St. Bernard's Hospital or OCU or the Community Health Mental Health Services Pool in the calendar years 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022 up to the 31st of May 2022, broken down by each calendar year and GHA facility management. Asking the Honourable the Minister for Health, Digital and Financial Services. Mr. Speaker, I'll give question to those in question 241. Question number 241 of 2022. The Honourable the Leader of the Opposition. Mr. Speaker, how many persons under the age of 18 are prescribed medication for antidepressants or antipsychotic drugs by GHA personnel in each of the calendar years 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022 back to the 31st of May 2022, broken down by each calendar year mentioned?
Mr. Speaker, I now hand over several of the information on our gentleman is requested. However, in connection to question 56, I am informed that the service for children was stopped in 2019, and therefore there are no official statements prior to that date. In order to refute the information to be completed, paper records, something which is very difficult to change without knowing the first-hand individuals in question. Moving forward, the Waterloo Mental Health Strategy will seek to improve mental health and care for the population of Gibraltar. This will include the strengthening of all delivery institutions to implement positive change and progress on the four overarching priorities, which are in alignment with the World Health Organization's Global Mental Health Action Plan of 2013 to 2030. Is mentioned in PR 574 of 2021. And just while I look at the picture, I just ask Grayson, he says that in relation to one of the questions, he gave a number that was not neither of those numbers, but not for one name, that there wasn't information before 2019. So 46 for an S. I'm not really sure which one name, because this is 240 to 41 bit. So then they can have information about the transfers of the referral. I see the question that now from the center that he meant the referral. Mr. Speaker, the global member looked closely at my question. You see that I asked that I wanted to have a breakdown of the referrals, but also broken down by each calendar year and to the specific dimension, then you see that the schedule of his members to me does not provide that information. So, can I ask him to? He doesn't have that with him, and he writes to me, because this would not be a full answer to the question that I asked.
Yes, people know what they happy to do that, as this is my supplemental information. I will also be happy to provide that information to any member.
I will say, thank you. Just looking at the we have to do the total, but you can see that in terms of referrals and taking this revenue, your 2019 was 110. 2020 is 4, number 14, 21, 115, 22. So far this year, 112. Obviously, January 2020 to December 2020, we didn't have the COVID yet. So I expect that must have had an impact on that. So looking at the other years and taking out the COVID year, as it were, you're seeing annual referrals in 2019 and 2021 of over 100, under 18. Mental health
facilities of a different type. We don't know whether it's an implementation use or the community mental health team, because that's the honourable member will have to write to me with that answer, and it would be helpful to receive it. But we've seen also in the first 5 months of this year a number which is as high as the annual number for 2021-2022. Doesn't agree that we need of some concern to see these numbers. Will we endeavour to speak to these advisors, those in the mental health services, as to whether this is going on and as to the causes that perhaps what action could be taken in relation to these matters?
Two points. The first point is that large numbers in the first half of this year are higher than they normally are. But the second point is that I believe that much of that may be down to the implementation of the mental health strategy carried out by my predecessor, which is therefore work a lot more awareness and more people being aware of the kind of issues that may arise and consequently referring people more than there were previously. The mental health strategy 21-26 is designed precisely to do that. And if that hasn't happened, and obviously it's still an area that we need to keep looking at, then I would have been concerned if that number would have grown out of its own direction, so to say. The first thing is much more aware. The fact that the clinical operational leadership in the mental health service has been refreshed and strengthened are also contributing factors to the increase in numbers. I suspect in previous years, as we've been doing this, we've had more referrals also. So, yes, this is an area of concern. Yes, this is an area that will be looked at by the mental health team, and I have no doubt that that strategy will continue to bring forward cases that require and need some support and attention.
The House is now adjourned to Tuesday at 10:30 in the morning when the House will consider the appropriation bill.
And our proposed question is that this House is now adjourned to Tuesday, the 28th of June at 10:30 a.m. And our proposed question is that this House is now adjourned to Tuesday, the 28th of June at 10:30 a.m. Those in favour? We have a good question. We don't have a good question. We have not questioned questions yet. We have not.
I haven't understood. There were some discussions with Clark about accepting certain questions in written form, but we're not finishing questions for you. So there will be a substantial signing on for the purposes of the budget that we're covering in the summer.
Well, this is because I consulted with the provisional question, which is about any question that prevents advancement on the assembly adjournment of the last day of the meeting.
That is because not only adjourned today, because the meeting continues until we have been through the whole of the order paper. And my mind was drawn to my memory of this, and that's why I haven't asked one of the members to accept this, because we can come back to those questions after we have finished dealing with those. And then that's when we'll have to see what kind of things are here or are not here. Two of them are likely to be done. And therefore, able to deal with topics of other chairman. One may or may not be back, as you know, we have a minister who is having a difficulty with it, with others, but he may or may not be there, so he's going to be here for next week.
Right, so I'm just going to go back and proceed with the adjournment. I now put the question, which is that this house is now adjourned to. After the 28th of June at 10:30 a.m. Those in favour? Those against? Passed. This House will now adjourn to Tuesday, the 28th of June